Blog Talk Radio.
Revolutionary Life. This is your host, Gary, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And Revolutionary Life, guys, tonight, first of all, thank you for tuning in. Revolutionary Life is all about looking at every aspect of our lives through a revolutionary lens. We are addressing war. Listen up, guys. This is your war. That's right. We are addressing a war that's going on, a fight that's going on, that you're walking around in the middle of. And perhaps you need to have an idea, if you don't, that is going on. And what might be the effect it has on you, if at all. And so tonight, guys, I thank you for listening in. Thank you for coming here to Blog Talk Radio to listen to Revolutionary Life, because it's a revolutionary time. Yes, it is. If you know anything about this show, you know the way we define revolution is change. The one thing that's constant in this universe is revolution, is change. We as revolutionaries would like to keep our finger on the pulse of the change so that we can be on the vanguard of that change, if at all possible. And so tonight, there's a change taking place that I want to speak to my revolutionaries to make sure they are aware of it and everything and everybody that they need to equip themselves to deal with this change, if they prefer, should be assembled, because the change is nigh. The change is now. Not tomorrow. The change is going down right now. And in the middle of this change, all kinds of opportunities exist for those who are revolutionaries, who keep their finger on the pulse of change. Those are the ones that when there's a breach in the matrix, they see it. Not only do they see it, they exploit the breach to their benefit. There is a time when the wall seems like it's completely solid, and in just for a moment you see a crack forming. You see a weak spot or an opportunity to breach the gap between something that looked solid for a moment. Only revolutionary, only those people with their finger on the pulse of change are listening, watching, preparing for that gap, for that glitch in the matrix. There's always a glitch in the matrix. Only those who are looking for it are going to find it. Only those who are organized and prepared to step into that breach are going to exploit it. But it's all about change. Keep in mind, guys, change is motion. When things are in motion, the faster a car goes, the faster anything is, it just takes the least little bump, the least little rock, the least little bump to knock it off course. It's almost lighter because it's moving so fast that the least little thing will send it into a tailspin, flipping over and everything. The faster you go, the least little thing can trip you. And so, this particular situation refers to a glitch in the matrix. We're in the midst of change. Things are moving, changing. And so, it is now an easier time, if you will, to attempt to affect change, to affect that change, to guide it, to steer it, to get in front of it, such that you can get a positive, retrieve a positive benefit from it. Like a surfer would do a wave that's coming. You don't try to stop the wave. That's the definition of a reactionary. The definition of a revolutionary is someone who actually wants to be on the vanguard of change. So I'm talking to my revolutionaries tonight, because change is occurring right now. Things are in motion right now. Because of that emotion, because of that motion, it's a lot easier to affect it, to change its direction even. And so now, if you're prepared to this, if you have your finger on the pulse and you have an organization that is prepared for change, but prepared for these kinds of breaches, then it's an opportune time, I would say. You see, the the body politic, the political body, the body politic of the United States is infected. And the infection, like a virus, let's say. In fact, let's say it's like an autoimmune deficiency type virus. An autoimmune deficiency virus will attack the defense systems of your body right away. Right? And so if your autoimmune system attacks itself, or a virus is able to attack your immune system, then it can grow without your defenses stopping it. So the United States government, its body politic, all of it, the whole tripartite system, is sick because it has an infection now. It has something that is not it in it. You will understand what I mean as I go along, but it's been entered and infected by an outside antigen, pathogen. This particular pathogen have weakened immediately, and I'm talking about the new president of the United States, Donald Trump, immediately questioned the intelligence community. That's like a virus attacking your defense system, your defense department. All of a sudden, those who we depend on for national security, their reports are being questioned now by the president. His source of intelligence about what's going on around the world, places he can't be. Those intelligence communities are bringing information to him. Right. So he's making a choice to want all of us, because he does this publicly, to ensure that all of us doubt, as we may have already done long before he came along, the intelligence community, the CIA, the NSA, and all them guys, all them spy agencies, intelligence gathering agencies. Even the FBI that the Republicans used to love when they came out to the Black Panther Party. But even the FBI now, and the head of the FBI being fired and that kind of thing, those are your police, those are your defense systems of the body politic. They seek out spies and others and sellers of secrets and that kind of thing to protect the United States. They are there to protect the United States of America like a military would. However, they were attacked initially and weakened because of it, because your faith in it got even worse if you had any at all. I mean, it's deep state. So all of government now could be deep state. So you're supposed to doubt every bit of it, except what Donald Trump tells you. Now, this particular virus attacks your immune system first, your defense system first. Once your defense system is weakened now, all kinds of what's called opportunist pathogens will begin to beset the body politic. They will set up on the body politic. They will seek weak areas, soft areas, now weakened, to enter the body politic. And so we will get all kinds of opportunists, pathogens, in government, as we are seeing right now. We got everything from pedophiles to guys spending millions and millions of your tax dollars for doors, for trips, personal trips. They're kicking it on your money. Just opportunist pathogens can now enter into the body politic because it has been weak. It's defense systems, its offices, its offices, its oversight, I'm sorry, its oversight offices, those who are supposed to oversight to make sure government doesn't overreach. Now that they are co-opted, there is no oversight. And so, once the defense system is weakened, once all of these opportunist pathogens start entering into the body will do what it can to survive. But we're looking at a United States of America government, a country that is under attack. Well, the intelligence community says it's under attack. I don't know if the president will admit it to this day. The last thing I heard, Putin told him no, he didn't, and so he believed him. Wow. And so, you have been announced under attack. You've already been fired upon. You've already been fired upon. They've already landed assets in the country. And all of this I'm talking about is on a technical cyber level. But an attack is an attack. You can shut down the grid, you know what I mean? You can shut everybody's power off through that technology. Then that's an attack as well, isn't it? That's a method of war as well. And so I understand that the intelligence agencies are saying that Russia attacked our election. They did more than that. They captured our names and numbers. They learned our politics. They learned our politics and our leanings. They know more about you than you knew, than you'll ever know about them. They were able to get Hillary Clinton's emails. Your emails are a piece of cake. And so you're going to start, so they have this ability, they say, on YouTube and Facebook. They have the ability on Facebook to send in posts specifically to you, specifically tailored to you, and specifically to move you in a certain political direction, one that they want to move you into. So they're here. They say they call them Russian bots, Russian robots, Russian bots, this software, where they continue to send out through this mailing list that they've captured of your information through Facebook and other sources. Sold to them. And when they weren't sold to them, they stole. So they have it. And you're under attack, information-wise, even. Because they know you now. And if you're a voter or whatever, if you're anybody of any influence, and you stay on the net, they have an idea of what to send you, what to show you. So this cyber warfare, guys, is psychological. In fact. And so they're here. That's already in the works. That's already going on. The thing about it is that you already peeped by now. I hope you peeped the fact that the President of the United States has not announced an answer to to that Russian attack on us. Not only that, has he not announced how he's going to fix things so that that's not possible anymore? In fact, I don't think anybody has put forth the grand plan for securing the internet such that they can't buy our information and sell us bullshit at will. Now, here's the thing, guys. You're at war and you don't even know it. You're under attack and you don't even know it. Some of you are going about your life as though there has never been an attack on us. There has, right? At least the cyber attack, because it was an attack. Well, that's not the only. They didn't draw their hand back because nobody slapped it. They didn't draw back from the attack because we beat them back. And if they assisted Donald Trump in being elected through using all the cyber means possible, then if chances are Donald Trump is going to be de-elected, impeached, or in the next election, that they won't also help him stay in that election unless something is done to keep them from interfering with our elections. However, as I just said, the President of the United States, the intelligence community itself, the national security community, have not announced to us that there is in place a plan to ensure that our next elections will be free of the stealing of information by foreigners and the money and the coercion and the cohesion with foreigners outside of our country involved in our elections. And so, perhaps they will help him again. If they are not stopped, we will be attacked again. There will be an onslaught of information to turn you away from anyone that's not Donald Trump if you're not there. All kinds of methods to stop you from voting. All this is about to go down. And so, I just wanted you to know tonight, in case you didn't, that we were attacked through the cyber means in our last elections, and we are being attacked. Since there's no one stop them or put a fence up, we're being attacked. And from what I understand from the intelligence community, again, is that there's likely to be another ongoing attack. These were cyber attacks. But what about a military attack from Russia? I want you to keep one thing in mind as I go through this presentation, in case you think I'm beyond the pale on this. I want you to keep one thing in mind, that the commander-in-chief of the entire United States Armed Forces has the power, if we are approached by Russia militarily, our commander-in-chief has the power, because he's commander-in-chief of the military, he has the power to tell the United States military to stand down. The President of the United States is the commander-in-chief of our military, our armed forces. Donald Trump is in a position right now, as we speak, guys, that if Russia attacked us or approached us, aggressively, militarily, our borders. Donald Trump has the power to tell our military to stand down, to leave him alone. Now, any other president, you'd think I was out of my mind. But this one? Has the power to tell our military to stand down in the event Russia begins to invade this country. Already done cyberly and allowed. All it has to be done is physically. It's already done politically and allowed. The next step is militarily, socially. And you're speaking Russian. You're under attack. There's a war going on. And one attack has already been made that you're aware of, a cyber one. But I'm just saying, were it a military one, you have a president that you cannot be certain, but you know for sure, what you do know for sure, you cannot be certain if he will use this power, but you do know he has this power. And that is the power to tell the United States military's armed forces, all of them, to stand down if the Russians invaded our country, our streets, your community, physically. They've already done it, cyberly. They're here. They got your names and numbers from Facebook sold to them. When the election comes, don't worry. They'll be sending you stuff. Particularly geared to your likes and dislikes, of course. But to ensure Donald Trump is president again for a second term. They wouldn't be doing it if we stopped them the first time, but we haven't done anything. The president of the United States, we've been attacked, right? The country's been attacked. But the president of the United States doesn't act like he's under attack. Excuse me. We're doing construction. And there's a lot of dust around. The President of the United States is not bothered, it seems, by the attack on our government. It was a cyber one. Well, what if it was a military? What if it was a bomb? Would he still not be nonplussed about it? I don't know. An attack is an attack. And we were attacked. And our elections were manipulated. And so, if the president doesn't attack, it's simply because things are going exactly the way he wants them to go. You have to listen to my presentation, everyone, who has not on Trump. I did this a long time ago. Just go back to my episodes. They're all on demand. And find the one on Trump. And you will understand what's going on with the guy. He's not crazy or anything like that. He is a brand. He has made his living. And I speak of this in my other presentation. He has made his living selling the name Trump, the brand, like Kleenex and Xerox that people use for all types of machines and copying and tissue, facial tissue. And so Kleenex becomes a household word after it's used enough times. Well, Trump sells his brand. So Trump buildings don't belong to Trump. Trump steaks. Trump never made a steak. Trump never cut a steak. Trump. Wine. Trump doesn't make wine. Trump neckties. Trump doesn't make neckties. But his name is on them. So he's made his living claiming that his products are upscale, trying to give the impression that their products are upscale because they have the name in gold, Trump, written on them. Right? And so companies who do make these products buy the brand name. In my presentation I did on Trump, guys, and I need you to go back and listen to that if you want to hear the whole thing. I told you that Trump, the man, is a brand. He's not selling his name only. He's selling his face, his body. You, in our government right now, you have Trump on the label. But you have Putin in the bottle. Donald Trump is a brand. He always has been. That's his claim to fame. Selling his name. And he just did. He sold it to Putin to put on the label of his conquest of the United States of America. Think about that. And I'll be right back.
Shall we begin?
This is not a drill. Is that all you got?
Let's begin.
Welcome to Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we've been talking about a country under siege. Some of you may already know, some of you may be thinking about it, but let me just enlighten you. You're under attack. You have been. before the elections. You have been since 1980, it turns out, by the same people, by the way. And just FYI, guys, whether you prefer that or not, you're under attack. The nation's under attack. We're at war. Oh, yeah, did you know that? We're at war. We don't have the support of the president. A war has not been announced. Because we were attacked cyberly in our elections. But our leadership, the president, the leadership of this nation, refused to even acknowledge the attack. So that should tell you something. Either he supports the attackers, or he believes that there was no attack. And everybody is trying to pull the wool over his eyes. Right? It might nullify his election. That's him. He can never have that. But to this day, we haven't mounted an attack or a sufficient response to the attack on our country. And so here's the thing, guys. When you don't amount, whether we did or not, if you don't, actions have consequences. Breaking into our emails, Facebook, taking our phone numbers and addresses, sending us bullshit emails and stories and posts that are lies, untrue, to sway our opinion toward a particular candidate. You remember all that? That continues because they need to put this guy back in office again for a second term. He gets a second term, you know. And so there's no way, since there were no consequences to Russian interference in our elections, then what's to keep them from doing it again? Talk to me. They suffered no consequences to their actions. Maybe this time they'll push it a little bit farther to see how far they can get. You're under attack. I just want you to know that. Well, you know we were under attack cyberly, so that's not strange. You are under attack. But there's a war to take this country, and it's underway. Now, I don't know if you remember, in Germany in the 1940s, late 1930s, early 40s, the Germans were taking over the world. All of Europe, anyway. And when they marched into France, they were able to take France over so easily. They were in Paris in no time. They were able to take over France so easily. People asked, "How was it so easy to take over the French army and the whole French military and march right into Paris so quickly?" And the Germans said, because what they didn't know is that we had a fifth column. A fifth column? Yes. I thought they came in fours. No. They thought they came in fours. But the Germans said, no, we had a fifth column inside of Paris already. They were referring to German sympathizers within the country supporting their invasion of France. That's what made it so easy, because the inside of France were already German sympathizers, and they were already making the way for a German invasion by weakening the nation internally, by dividing the nation internally. They would call it Vichy, V-I-C-H-I, the Vichy French, Nazi sympathizers within France, French citizens who plotted with Hitler to bring France down. They represented a fifth column that the Germans said that is what made it so easy. We not only had four columns, and we had a fifth one. This one was inside of Paris already. I want you to remember the story of the Vichy French. I want you to look up the story of the Vichy and how they softened France for the German invasion. Nobody could have believed the German army could have been beaten that easily. I mean, the French army could have been beaten that easily by Germans. But it was. Because of the Vichy, the German sympathizers inside of France. Frenchmen who were Nazis. The Vichy. The reason I want you to look that up and to remember that, because history sometimes repeats itself. It seemed that our country is at war, and I told you that. I told you the President of the United States shows no interest in responding to the attacks that have been identified against us, this nation. And so it would seem to me, much like the Vichy, guys, people, if I wanted to attack the United States of America, this country, this continent, if I want to get in here and invade this nation, if I wanted to, I would first start by isolating you. In other words, I cause shit between you and your allies so they don't trust you anymore. They don't like you anymore. And they may or may not. They may hesitate. That's all I really need. Your allies may hesitate to come to your aid when I attack. So I'll sow dissent. I'll sow anger and disapproval among that country's allies against that country until it is isolated by itself from its friends. Those who I knew would have come to its aid yesterday, not after I spread enough lies that they will not come to his aid today, or they will hesitate, and that's all I really need. And to isolate that country's borders so friends cannot arrive from the south or the north. So it has to fight with what it has without support from the outside, because I will isolate it first. If you're among your friends as an individual and I'm going to attack you, I'm not going to attack you among your allies who are all going to jump in. But if I can go around and tell stories about you and break all your friendships up and isolate you, then when I attack you, I can rest assured no one else is coming to your aid, at least not soon enough as they would have were you still allies. So I'm saying, if I wanted to attack a country, you'd isolate it from its friends, from people who might come to its assistance. You'd build a wall around it, and then you'd attack it. But you also soften the inside. You build a fifth column, a Vichy. You're under attack. There's a war going on, and you don't know about it. But now you know. When someone attacks, it's a part of a strategy. It's not just hitting us to get Trump elected. Nations don't hit. They take other nations. That's all they know. war, conquest, enslavement. And to attack us like that, they're coming. They're here. Through the help of their Vichy. I did this segment because I wanted to tell you that in the middle of a war, I wasn't talking to my revolutionaries now. In the middle of a war, there's a lot of changes taking place. The old system is going out. The new system is coming in. Our new president, who's assisting in this invasion of the U.S. and taking of the U.S., this war, has opened the doors, really. Because in addition to opening up the body politic for opportunist pathogens when it's in such a state as it is today, it also opens the door for those who can cure this disease. That won't be your Democratic Party, guys. I got news for you. They're asleep. There is nothing in your way. Everybody who runs for president is going to be running against Donald Trump. Every opposition candidate. If you have not figured out by now that Donald Trump doesn't play by any rules, or he don't break laws, guys, he knows how to get around breaking the law. And so if you're waiting for him to go to jail or something because he broke a law, you're going to be waiting a long time. No. He breaks protocol. He breaks tradition. So while you're waiting for him to break the law, he has taken the government. You know, the tripartite system that makes up our government, the judicial, legislative, and executive, he owns all three. There are no checks and balances now. So you don't have a government. It's all under the administration, the executive branch, the president. There's no tripartite system. There's no checks and balances. The things have changed, guys, in the country you live in. Now, a revolutionary can walk into a breach like that, a war, go right up the middle, and when the two sides quit fighting and look around, somebody else is in charge. It's a hell of an opportunity for those with their fingers on the pulse, who can see the breaches in the matrix when they come along and exploit those breaches and those glitches. The system is broken. Trump broke it. Before it is put back together again, guys, it's not going to be put back together in your interest. Keep this in mind. It is broken. Trump has stepped all over everything that held it together without breaking on law, only a tradition, only a protocol, only a norm, only a way of doing things. You can break those two now. It's open game. You don't have to adhere to any tradition. You don't have to adhere to any protocol. If it is not a law, break it. That's Trump. And that's how whoever's going to take him out of business and his administration out is going to have to think. if you are halted, if you are stopped, if you're slowing down by an old tradition in politics or a protocol of a way to go, a regulation of some kind, if it is not a law, break it and catch up with this guy. Because he's going way past you guys waiting for the next election. Wait till 2020. Just wait till 2020. Come on, man. This guy needs to go today. But it's too late. You're already at war. And some of you don't even know it. You got to ask yourself, what would I do if this country was attacked? It was. And so, and if you know that the government now could care less about that attack and wish everybody quit talking about it. So that means it will go on and on. There's no reason for it to stop. There's no consequences for actions. Then there's no reason to stop. Russia received no consequences significantly to pay for having messed with our elections. The best consequences would have been to fire Trump, to disqualify him, as in any race, when two people are in any race, if they one person receives outside assistance, whether they ask for it or not, if one person receives some kind of outside assistance to win that race, that person would be disqualified, would they not? If two people are running a race and the judges or the referees see one of them receiving outside assistance, illegal outside assistance, whether they ask for it or not, they got it and it assisted them in any way in winning, that person will be disqualified. And the crown will be given to get the cup or whatever, the prize would be given to the person they ran against. Outside assistance would have disqualified most any race. And so, my revolutionaries, on the other hand, may see it as another opportunity. If they are prepared, this is a breach. This is a government reforming itself. It's being broken. The traditions, all that stuff is being broken, guys. And it's never going to get put back together. Because this guy's going for a second term. And so check this out. In the midst of this change, this break, before this thing is reassembled into what Putin would like for it to look. And remember what I told you. Trump is only a brand. That's all he's ever been. That's his name claim to fame, really. It's selling his name. Trump shirts, Trump steaks, Trump wines, Trump government. The man is the brand. You have Putin in the bottle and Trump on the label. You're at war. My revolutionaries can come up through the middle of both sides, and when they get through fighting, the revolutionaries will be in charge. But if this bottle gets put back together in the shape that the Russians would like, and Trump would like, and Trump's base would like, and consolidated, it makes it much more difficult. When things are in motion, they're easy to direct, left or right. Now is the time. Now is the time for change. While change is happening. That's Trump. That's the times we're living in right now. That's the war that's underway. There is a war. Oh, yeah, you're in it. An opportune time for some. Not to go back to business as usual. An opportune time to change things. To progress. You don't have to run about. You don't have to worry about running against the Independent Party, the Green Party. You don't have to worry about excuse me, just a minute. You don't have to worry about running against the Democratic Party. Null and void. The Democrats are sitting around waiting for the rotten apple of state to drop into their lap. That's all they're doing. They're looking up with their hand out, just saying at some point this thing going to drop. And going to fall into their hands just because it gets so rotten it can't stay in the tree. Well, by that time, it'll be too rotten to use to be of any good. You got to climb the tree and pull the fruit. And now is the time. Before the consolidation of whatever kind of government Trump is trying to put together, you know, it's not the current one. Every protocol, every practice have been challenged by this guy. And none of it stopped him, and everybody thought some of it would. And whoever goes up against him cannot be held back by protocols and practices. Or they'll be a day late and a dollar short getting to power. I wanted to tell you we're at war. In the middle of it. I want to tell you the state of the government. The federal government. It is sick. The entire body politic is sick. There's no leadership. And the virus that has invaded it has attacked its immune system as its first thing. Its defense system as its first thing. And now all kinds of opportunist pathogens are entering the body politic. Crooks, thieves, criminals of all kind. Opportunists of all kind. However, there's another opportunity. This craziness leaves an opportunity for the revolutionary. When things are in motion, they're easier to change. They're easier to direct. The slightest touch can make them go left or right. So it's not a bad thing, this chaos, this chaotic rearranging of our government from a tripartite system to one where the president owns the courts, the legislature, and the presidency. A wrap. A dictatorship of the bourgeoisie. I want to thank you for listening in tonight. This is your host, Gary, and your show is called Revolutionary Life, where we look at every aspect of our life from a revolutionary lens. Tonight, we called on our revolutionaries and everyone else who's listening to judge what they would do in the midst of war and to inform them that that's exactly where they are. The revolutionary has its role in these situations because it wants to make progressive change. And so does the opportunist pathogens who want to make money and have power. All kinds of things can get into the system when it's in the state it currently in, when the body politic is sick. But it's also an opportunity for the good to get in, the progressive to get in, and make a change for the better, for the future. Thank you for listening to Revolutionary Life tonight, as we talked about a country under siege, yours. Check me out tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, 10 p.m., Central Standard Time. I don't know what the subject is right now, but it's always going to be an interesting one. Keeping your finger on the pulse of change. And as I always say, when I'm at the end of our shows, is that I want you to try to live fearlessly. There's nothing to be scared of. There's nothing to be scared of. And have no doubts. If you do, you've lost your faith. The two can't occupy the same territory. You may have to change your beliefs and definitions if you still fear and doubt. That's your prison. Be fearless. Have no doubts. Stay in the moment. That's your most powerful minute, second. Don't lose it worrying about yesterday or worrying about tomorrow. Those things are not real. They're mental ideas. Come into the real. Stay in the real as often as possible. Touch something. Smell something. Taste something. Come here. And come out of your head. And you will learn to be fearless through that. Because you'll trust yourself. Stay in the now. And I'll see you tomorrow night. At 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. How about that? Good night. Thank you for listening in.